Once again, we'd like to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8, once again, we'll read verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Again, what we read here is a portion of what Jeremiah preached to the people as they were going into the house of the Lord. The sermon that he preached begins back in chapter 7. Verse 1 says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house." So we know where Jeremiah is preaching this message, the gate of the Lord's house. "And proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord." So it is a message preached to those who frequented the house of the Lord. And although the message is preached to such, the words of the message are very negative, and certainly our text, Jeremiah 8, verse 20, is very negative. Jeremiah lived in the final days of the nation of Judah. He was ministering to a people who for years had been in a state of spiritual decline. As a result, they were facing destruction. They were facing the judgment of God. He was the last preacher that God sent to warn Judah before God would deliver them into captivity. He wasn't the last preacher, but he was the last preacher that God sent. Jeremiah's preaching ministry was a token of God's love, token of God's grace, a tremendous mercy to Judah, because it presented Judah with the opportunity to repent and to get right with God and to be delivered from pending judgment. In the letters to the churches, the letter to the church of Thyatira, it mentions there Jezebel. And God gave her a space to repent. God gave her a space to repent. And that's what God was doing here with Judah. He was giving them a time. He was giving them a space to repent. This particular space was 40 years in Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached for 40 years at least, probably a few more. The five kings that he preached through totals 40 years, 40 and a half, and then he preached a little bit beyond that. But the sad words of our text, though God is giving them a space to repent, the sad words of our text indicate that Jeremiah preached to them time and time again, and yet they remained unchanged by the message. And that'll be our subject this evening, unchanged, unchanged. Consider, first of all, Jeremiah and his ministry. We're going to look at a lot of verses. Most of them will be in the book of Jeremiah. But if you go to chapter 1, you see God's call of Jeremiah in verses 4 through verse 9. Here is a man in verse 5 who is sanctified, that is, he has been set apart by God. It says that he's ordained a prophet, that is, by God. He's been anointed by God to be a prophet. He's been gifted by God to be a prophet. And this was so for a particular time and a particular people. It says, I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. It is also implied in the record of his call that there would be fierce and threatening opposition to him. We see that as you read on there in Jeremiah chapter 1. He says in verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. That implies that there would be opposition. That implies that there would be difficulty. But he was a man who was in the hand of God. Again, if you think back to the seven letters to the seven churches, prior to that, we see that John saw Christ, and in his right hand were the seven stars, the messengers of those churches. God holds in a special way in his hand the messenger of the Lord. We see also that Jeremiah was sent with for a particular people, for a particular purpose. We see that in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 1. And all that God's people would see the purpose of God in sending the man of God. We see that Jeremiah would be given the messages that God would have him to preach. We see in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 1, which is the beginning of what we read here in Jeremiah 8, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. And you see, the book of Jeremiah is a series of messages preached by Jeremiah. And the way we identify when a new message is starting is these words. In Jeremiah 11, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. In Jeremiah 13 and verse 1, thus saith the Lord unto me. In verse 3, and the word of the Lord came unto me. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came unto me. And this goes all the way through the book of Jeremiah. So he's preaching one message after another. He's doing this over a period, again, of at least 40 years. And again, how important it is for God's people to recognize the preached word is coming from God. So Jeremiah is called of God. Jeremiah has been given a message from God. And as you read the book of Jeremiah, you see that Jeremiah embarked upon his ministry not as an occupation, but as a calling from God. His ministry, again, about 40 years, was essentially one of warning. It came from a genuine interest and concern for the souls of the people. He begged the people to listen as he exposed the sin of the people, calling upon them to repent and turn to God. In his preaching throughout the book of Jeremiah, you see the word backsliding or some form of it is mentioned about 13 times, and the word return is mentioned 47 times. He is urging he is exposing their sin, and he is urging them, return to the Lord. Turn from your sins and turn to the Lord. The message that he preached was for the benefit of their souls. He preached again during a time when there were many false messages being preached, and the people loved to have it so. They enjoyed hearing the false messages because it made them feel good. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. And we see that there were many false preachers in Jeremiah's time because he many times throughout the book of Jeremiah, he rebukes the prophets. And in verse 31 of chapter 5, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? And the reason they loved to have it so in chapter 8, verses 10 and verse 11, we see in the last part of verse 10, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. And how did they do that, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace? That is, they made them feel good. They made them feel that things were okay. But here comes Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, every time he preaches, he reminds them, things are not okay. Things are not okay. And Jeremiah preached a message that did not make them feel good. He preached to them faithfully. He preached to them without compromise. Again, for 40 years, he preached to them constantly. He preached to them very, very plainly. There could be no one saying, well, what did Jeremiah mean by that? They knew exactly what he meant. They didn't like it, but there was no doubt what he meant. He preached very clearly. He preached very directly. He preached very pointedly. And he preached tearfully. And the message that God gave him became a heavy burden to Jeremiah. And you see that throughout the book of Jeremiah. You see it in the book of Lamentations. It was a message that caused him great mental anguish. The message that God gave him. And then when he saw how the people responded to the message or didn't respond to the message, again, this caused him great mental anguish. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah 9 verse 1, we read this verse this morning. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. In chapter 13 and verse 17, but if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. He says, if you will not hear my message, I will weep. I will weep in secret for your pride, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. That is, judgment is coming. Now, as Jeremiah preached to these people, he's preaching to God's people, and as he preached to God's people, Jeremiah was viewed as the enemy. He was hated and he was rejected by the people of God, the very people that should have received him. In Jeremiah chapter 11, Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 19, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me. He was hated. He was rejected. He suffered persecution at their hands. In Jeremiah chapter 15, in verse 10, Jeremiah 15, in verse 10, woe is me, my mother that has borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. In verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers. That's who he was preaching to, an assembly of mockers. And he was preaching to God's people, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. And then he goes on, he says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? There were devisings against him. Notice in chapter 18, in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. This is God's people Let us smite him with the tongue. And no, don't listen to what he says. And again, this is the last preacher that God would send to Judah before they went into captivity. He was smitten and he was imprisoned. In chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, we see in verse 2, or in verse 1, Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. His life was threatened. Jeremiah 26 and verse 8. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto the people, that the priests and the prophets, the religious people of the day, and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. He was hated. He was hated because of what he preached. And this has been going on for, this went on for 40 years. For 40 years. Some of his prophecies were burned. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah 36. We say that the king in verse 22 sat in the winter house in the ninth month. And there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire. And it was on the hearth until the roll was consumed. They burned the message that Jeremiah preached. He would later be placed in a dungeon to die. In Jeremiah 38 and verse 6. And as a result of all of this, there were times when Jeremiah wanted to quit, but he couldn't. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 20, in verse 9. Then said I, we see in verse 8, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, I could not refrain myself from preaching what God had given him to preach. So we have an overview of his person. We have an overview of his ministry. And then we see the sad condition that the people were in. Jeremiah, in his preaching, exposed the sins of God's people. Again, for God to send him to do such is an act of mercy. For God to send a man to expose sin is an act of mercy, is an act of grace. They didn't see it that way, but that's what it was. It was a space to repent. What Jeremiah's message exposed serves as a mirror of the overall condition of God's people today. As you read the book of Jeremiah, it's almost like sitting in church today. It's almost, it is very descriptive of the times in which we live. His message exposed the fact. Notice, if we go back over to Jeremiah chapter 2. His message exposed the fact that they were not what they once were. Jeremiah 2, verse 2 and verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. I remember when you were kind, God says. The love of thine espousals. when thou wentest after me. You followed me. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. That is, they were separated unto God. And God blessed them. But they weren't the same. They weren't the same people. We see that now they are far from God. And they're walking in vanity. In verse 5, about halfway down, we got to read these verses quick. There's many of them. They are gone far from me. That is, the very ones who were kind and loving and went after me. They have gone far from me and walked after vanity and are become vain. Not only that, they were unmindful of God. Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness? Where is God? They were unmindful of the Lord. And they had forsaken God. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And having forsaken God, they then sought to replace God and hewed them out cisterns, broken, that can hold no water. We see back in verse 8 that they walked after things that do not profit. Verse 11, they changed their gods which are not gods. They changed their glory for that which doth not profit. They were in terrible, terrible shape. Verse 18, and now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? They were drinking out of polluted rivers spiritually. Or the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river. He declared their sin in very plain fashion. In verse 19, he speaks of their wickedness. He speaks of their backslidings. And he says, it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. Thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. And he says, this is evil. This is bitter. And that my fear is not in thee. There is no fear of God. Verse 20. He goes on and he says, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. That's pretty plain. That's pretty direct. No wonder they liked others to come by and say, peace, peace. You're okay, you're okay. Don't listen to Jeremiah. He's a bitter old man. Verse 22. Thine iniquity is marked before me. This was said after he said, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, though you try to cover your sin is before me. Verse 23. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, and they said, Jeremiah, we don't know who you're talking about. All is fine with us. And Jeremiah said, how can you even say that you are not polluted? Verse 24, he says that they are like a wild ass to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. What a picture. What a picture. He goes on in verse 27, saying to a stork, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. Now there's several things going on in that verse. We see that they were idolatrous, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. That's idolatry. For they have turned their back unto me and not their face. But it says later they would use God for a fire escape when they needed one. Your day of trouble will come and you'll call unto me, but I'll not answer. That is, you want God on the shelf to use as you please. This is very descriptive of today. Verse 30, he says, in vain have I smitten your children. God chastised them. God chastised them with their children, and yet they still didn't turn. So Jeremiah says, in vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. They received no correction. God corrected them time and time and time again, and their response is, why is this happening to us? Much like today. You see, today, again, the principle throughout the Scriptures, God did not judge His people because of politics. He judged His people because of the sin of the people. He judged the nation because of the sin of the people. Today we like to blame everything on the politics. When it will change is when God's people fall on their faces and repent. We're the reason. People don't like to hear that. But follow the pattern all through the Old Testament. It's there. Verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. Verse 33, we preached a long series of messages on this verse. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why do you accessorize to be loved by the world? Verse 35, yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Verse 36, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Notice in chapter 5, verse 24 and verse 25. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. Jeremiah's message was very plain. Coming to the sermon of our text in chapter 7, the people were still in sin. Jeremiah has preached for years now a very plain message. And now we see in chapter 7, he's calling upon them as they're going into the house of God. There they were, filled with idolatry, and yet they're still going into the house of God. And Jeremiah proclaimed to them in verse 3 of chapter 7, amend your ways and your doings. As they were going into the house of God, feeling good about themselves, Jeremiah said, amend your ways. Amend your doings. Though they continued in their sins, they convinced themselves that they would escape the judgment of God. Verse 4, he says, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. That's what the false prophets were telling them. God will not judge you because the temple is here. He says, don't trust in lying words. Here they were going in the house of God, but they were trusting in lying words, continuing to go through the formality of worship. Notice verse 8. Again, he's speaking to them as they're going into the house of God. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery? These are things they were doing. But they're going into the house of God. And swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house? Will you live your lives stealing, murdering, committing adultery, lying, worshiping Baal, walking after other gods, and then come into my house and stand before me as if all things are okay? This is what Jeremiah was preaching. In verse 11 he says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers? Jesus would quote that. In your eyes, behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. What all that teaches us is this. Attendance to God's house does not make you right. They were attending God's house, but they weren't right. In fact, their attendance to God's house offended Him because of the way they were living throughout the week. It offended God. I believe they had been better off had they not gone to God's house in that condition. We see they turned a deaf ear to the message of God. They paid no mind to God. All of this is in the sermon of our text in Jeremiah chapter 8, in verse 13 of chapter 7. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. He's speaking through Jeremiah. But ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. They paid no mind to the message of God. And they were guilty of idolatry. Going into chapter 8. Verse 1 and verse 2, at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven whom they have loved. They're talking about idolatry again. This is the life that they were living. They were idolaters. That is, instead of coming to God, they loved other things. Instead of serving God, they served idols. Instead of giving to God, they sacrificed to idols. Instead of honoring and walking in the ways of God, they chose another course and followed a willful path of rebellion. They acted against reason. To continue in sin is to always act against reason, especially when a man of God is standing before you exposing your sin. To continue on in that is unreasonable. Jeremiah 8, verse 4. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? If a man falls in the street, reason tells you, I need to get up. I need to get up. You don't fall in the street and just lay there the rest of your life. Reason tells you, get up. But we see here in verse 4, shall they fall and not arise? Are they that foolish? They have fallen, and yet there's no rising. He goes on, and shall he turn away and not return? Man is walking down the road, and at some point he realizes, I'm going the wrong way. What does reason tell you? You're driving your car down the highway, and you soon discover, hey, I'm going the wrong way. What does reason tell you? Turn around. But they were acting against reason. Jeremiah had revealed to them, you're going the wrong way. But no one would turn. They acted against reason. That's why we say over and over, sin is insanity. It's absolute insanity. Verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They were continuing in their wayward ways. They were continuing in a downward spiral. He goes on to say, they hold fast deceit
Hypocrisy. They hold it fast. And they will, and they refuse. They refuse to return. Every time Jeremiah stood before them and exposed their sins, and they continued in their sins, that is a refusal to return. And every time God's people hear the message of God that exposes their sins and they walk out that door unchanged, that is a refusal to return. And that will only continue for so long, because God gives a space to repent. And I'm here to tell you that space is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. God had given them a space to repent, and they refused. Notice verse 6. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? What have I done? Everyone turned to his course. Instead of examining themselves, Jeremiah would preach, and instead of examining themselves and asking themselves, oh, what have I done? They returned to their course. That is, they left the presence of Jeremiah and continued in their sin. That's how it is today. Preacher can stand up and preach. 30 seconds after the message, people are laughing, having a good time, and continuing on in their sins. This is a picture of the day in which we live. We see also that they had fleshly enthusiasm. They returned under their course. Notice, as the horse rusheth into the battle. That's enthusiasm. They didn't just return to their course. They did so with great zeal. They did so enthusiastically. They were ignorant of the times. Verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. And the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. They know. They know what time it is. They know when it's time to return. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. What Jeremiah is saying here is the animals have more sense than you do. They know what time it is. They know when winter's ending, and they know where they need to go. They know where winter's beginning, and they know when to go. But my people, know not. They boasted of their wisdom, rejoicing in their history. Chapter 8, verse 8. How do ye say we are wise? Jeremiah says, how do you insist that you are wise? The law and the law of the Lord is with us. God delivered His truth to us. We have the truth. This is why people today like to look back and say, oh, remember how it used to be. They're holding on to their history. That won't save you today, my friend. That won't even help you today. But that's what they were doing. They thought that somehow they would escape because of their history. But we see that they rejected the word of the Lord. Verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. They have rejected the word of the Lord. Every time you hear the word of God preached and a change has not been made, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the question is asked, what wisdom is there in that? There's no wisdom in that. That's utter foolishness. These people were in bad shape. What ought to concern us is it's very descriptive of us. They were entangled in covetousness, setting their affection on other things. Notice verse 10. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them, that they shall inherit them. Keep in mind, he's talking to the people going into the house of God. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. But we see that they lived. Everyone is given to covetousness. That means they lived for themselves. Life was, what can I get? What is in it for me? And all their thoughts and all their pursuits were centered around me. But they were made to feel better about themselves through the message of the false prophets. There in verse 10 and 11. And they became hardened through the numbing effect of sin. Notice verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. They were hardened. They had been made numb by sin. The message of Jeremiah exposed their condition. But the message of Jeremiah left them unchanged. Jeremiah continued to preach these things for 40 years. And you read the book of Jeremiah, there is not a single record of positive outward results. As far as we know, there were none. 40 years. He preached. People today, if they do not see favorable outward results, we need a new preacher. You would have gotten rid of Jeremiah pretty quick. He did it for 40 years. The problem wasn't with the message. The problem was with the hearers. For all his labor in ministry, the people remained unchanged. Notice in Jeremiah 32, verse 33, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, and the message meant nothing to them. It did not faze them. You say, well, Jeremiah needed to be a little plainer. You can't get plainer than what Jeremiah was. He says, you're like a whore. I mean, how plain can you get? They didn't get it. Jeremiah could have called them by name. They wouldn't have got it. And so it is today. The message didn't faze them. They were content in their sin before God. Their religion was empty. Their sin was excessive. They had no real interest in the Lord. They had no real desire to please Him. They had no concern. They had no consciousness of God's holiness. They had no real heart to love God. They had no real concern to obey God. And yet, because God is merciful and God is long-suffering, He gave them a space to repent by sending unto them Jeremiah to preach. And Jeremiah preached, and time again, and opportunity after opportunity, they left unchanged by the message. How sad. How terribly sad. Sermon after sermon, they left unchanged. And we come to Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Jeremiah was sent to them as a token of God's love, God's long-suffering, God's kindness, God's grace and mercy. It had no positive effect upon them. You know, today, heard it preached a few times or mentioned a few times during a conference, and you hear it preached often. There's so many churches, X amount of churches, without a pastor. Somebody needs to go. The implication being that God wants these churches to have a pastor. That may be so. That may be true. But it may not be true. Need to stop and consider something. Perhaps they had their Jeremiah. And that time's gone. They're not getting another one. Because they had their space to repent. You say, well, I don't like looking at it that way. I believe that's the case sometimes. I really do. They had a faithful man. They didn't listen to him. And they had a faithful man for years, and they didn't listen. Just like Judah. And God says, you've had your space to repent. You'll not have another. And I'm convinced today, I'm not saying in every case, we don't know. We don't know the mind of God. But you cannot just limit and say, make a bold statement, and say all these churches without pastors, somebody needs to go because God wants them to have a pastor. That may not be so. And we've got Scripture to base that upon. God help us. God gives us because He's merciful. He gave Jezebel a space to repent there in Thyatira. And He gives us a space to repent. I remember years ago, back in late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Again, read the text. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. Jeremiah preached for 40 years. And despite 40 years of exposure to Jeremiah's preaching, Judah's heart did not change for the good. In fact, Judah's heart got worse. Jeremiah preached, and it's an amazing thing, 40 years. Declaring the truth of God and God's people got worse. The problem wasn't with the message. Because you can read over 27 times the word of the Lord came to me. For 40 years, his preaching fell upon deaf ears. If Jeremiah lived today, he would be considered an utter failure. There aren't too many churches in the United States of America that would call Jeremiah to be their pastor. I guarantee it. They couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle his message. Again, read Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. They had wasted. God had sent them a man to preach the truth to them. And they wasted it. They wasted it. They exhausted. Yes, God is long-suffering. He's not forever suffering. He's long-suffering. They exhausted the patience of God. That's what Jeremiah 8 and verse 20 tells us. Again, we applied these verses this morning to the unsaved. And there is an application there. There's an application here also for God's people. And no matter how you look at it, Jeremiah 8, verse 20, those are horrific words. Those are very dismal words. Those are frightening words. To think that if we do not pay attention to the preached word of God, God may not give you that privilege. And see, that's what happens. The people of Judah thought, well, God's not going to judge us. And that's what God's people think many times. Well, we may ignore this preacher, but God has someone else out there for us, and we'll listen to him. Well, you keep telling yourself that. You might convince yourself of it. But it doesn't work that way. That's not Scripture. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. So it ought to frighten us to think I can be neglecting my last opportunity. This might be God's last act of mercy. The pastor of whatever church, he might be your Jeremiah. That might be that church's Jeremiah. He's the last one. Oh, others might follow. But there will be no more Jeremiahs. These are words that ought to pierce our hearts. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. They ought to disturb us. They're words that ought to cause discomfort. You see, the people had rejected God's only remedy. Notice, and we'll close, 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. But they mocked. Well, let's read verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, many, many, many times. Why did God do this? Why did God send Jeremiah? Why does God call a man to preach to a people who will not listen and get up Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and just keep on, keep on, keep on? Because he had compassion on his people. That's why God gives those men and on his dwelling place. But notice verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised or thought lightly of his words. You want to know one of the reasons the people could not listen to Jeremiah? It's because he couldn't stand them. He was a hated man. Pretty hard to listen to someone you don't like. Pretty hard to listen to someone you can't stand. That was part of their problem. It goes on here, they despised or thought lightly of his words. They misused his prophets. Then notice, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. That ought to scare us to death. Till there was no remedy. I believe in nations, and I believe in the lives of people even. I don't know when it is, but I do believe that there are points of no return. You're not coming back. They sinned and sinned and sinned. They neglected the message after message after message till there was no remedy. In other words, there was no hope. They had exhausted the patience of God. Let us not leave the house of God unchanged. All that we would realize the danger of coming into the house of God, lives full of sin, and walking out those doors unchanged. And we come back the next service and we do the same thing. And we come back the next service and we do the same thing. And it continues for months And it continues for years and years and years and years. And one day, Jeremiah 8:20 becomes reality. We must be concerned. If we walk out of the house of God Sunday after Sunday unchanged, you can blame it on whatever you want to, whatever makes you feel good. But you leave the house of God unchanged, you, my friend, are in great danger. Great danger. This is so very plain in Jeremiah. It's plain in other passages as well. God help us. We ought to pray that we would come under the changing power of the preached Word of God. We all know, or we all should know, that every single one of us needs change. There isn't anyone here that doesn't need things changed. And we ought to come praying, God, change me today. Use the preaching of your word to change me. Because when you leave time and time again unchanged, you know what happens? You become numb. You become numb. And pretty soon the preacher could call you by name and it's not going to mean a thing to you. You won't hear. You're numb. It's a frightful thing to become spiritually numb. That's a horrible place to be. God help us. God uses His Word. And that God would use His Word to change the hearts and lives of God's people. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.